invite you to open them up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading in verse 25. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. How many hours is there in a week? How many hours is there in a week? I'm hearing all kinds of numbers. None of them match, so they can't all be right. Come on. 168. I heard somebody say it. That's it. 168. Guess how many minutes are in a week? 10,080. Guess how many seconds are in a week? 604,800. Man, that's a lot, isn't it? How much time do you spend in that week thinking about the Lord? Well, I was doing a little figuring. That's kind of bad for me. I'm from Picnic, so it doesn't always come out right. Everybody has to check my math. But I was just putting down that we normally spend about 8 hours a day sleeping. At least I hope you do. That's supposed to be something you should be doing. And that comes out to about 56 hours a week. I gave you about an hour for each meal to eat a week, and that comes out to about 21 hours. I gave you 2 hours a day to get ready. That may not work for the ladies, but it averages out. Of course, Rick told me not to say that, didn't you, Rick? I'm sorry. So that's 14 hours. Unfortunately, I had to put in 8 hours a day for working. I hate that part, but got to put it in. That comes out again to 56. When you put all those together, and it comes out to 21 hours of free time. I was going to be really nice and give you 4 hours for church. Sunday school, church, discipleship training, and Wednesday night. Of course, I know all of you come for all those services. So that's another 4 hours. That leaves you 17 hours of free thinking in a week. How much of that do you spend thinking about the Lord? Now, don't be thinking by the hours and don't be thinking by the minutes, but think by the seconds. Take 60 seconds to get a minute. How long do you think about the Lord every week? I have a sneaking idea, if we were honest, it wouldn't come out to very much. So what do we think about? Well, I want you to notice what Jesus was saying. Now, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and so that would be kingdom teaching. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but let's start in verse 25 and see what Jesus has to say. Verse 25 of Matthew 6. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they are? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So what in the world does all that mean? You have to understand, Jesus is the ultimate teacher. He uses things that we understand. I love this time of the year. It's springtime, and of course, you know, we actually skipped spring. We went from winter to summer. We didn't get any of that in between, okay? None of that cool weather. We just got hot weather. But it is the time of the year that new flowers start blooming, and I love the wildflowers that come up in the ditches, all the different colors. And we're supposed to have some lilies even this time of the year because of the resurrection and Easter, they're going to come a little bit later, I'm afraid, because you don't see many of them up yet. But they're beautiful when you see all the different colors. And I don't know about you, but I like to get close up and see all the colors. I told Rick, can you imagine how terrible it would be not to experience seeing color? What it would be like to be born blind and not experience all the different colors in the world today? And especially flowers. There are nothing out there like flowers. They're beautiful. Birds. Do you like birds? I have to admit, when I was in Washington, there's a lot more birds singing there than there are here. But there are some birds around here. In fact, the ones that we get most often around the house are cardinals. Man, for some reason, cardinals just love that area out there where we live. And some days you can go out there and see four, five, six cardinals together. Just beautiful. The males are all bright and red, and the females are a lot lesser colors because they're camouflaged, kind of protect them and the babies. And see, God has a reason for everything, doesn't He? But they're all beautiful. The other day, Deb and I were going to my dad's house, and we got into the edge of Tampa, and there's still some fields before you get, into Plant City. There's still some fields before you get in there really good, and we were down one of the little roads heading into Plant City, and there was an eagle landed right in the middle of a field. You could tell, full-grown, mature. It had that white, yellow head and that white, yellow tail just landed right there, and you were going, oh, that's beautiful, you know, even in Plant City. Going for the strawberries. No, they were going for the things going for the strawberries, I'm afraid. But it's beautiful to see those things. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples, he said, you notice the animals don't worry about where the next meal's coming from. You know that eagle doesn't get up in the morning going, what do I want for breakfast? Oops. Maybe a bagel with fish on it. Maybe I get some bacon and eggs. You reckon that's what he thinks of when he first wakes up? Well, if you believe Disney, that would be what it would be. But you see, animals are different from people. They don't use reasoning like we do. They have instinct. That bird's not worried about it. In fact, he's not worried about what he's going to eat. He's going to get up on a perch somewhere and start looking. When he sees that movement, oh, sad. We need to train him to eat cats. No, I'm just kidding. A lot of wild cats. You're going to get us in trouble, brother. Put your hands down. We got some wild ones back of the church here, by the way. You come up, you might see somewhere once in a while. How about the flowers? Do they wonder about what they're going to put on for the morning? Do they open up that old blossom and go, well, you know, I was white yesterday. I'm going to be red today. No. Plants don't reason either. God just put within them all the wonderful things of genetics and science, and they are what God has created them to be. Beautiful. They don't worry about how they got beautiful. So what is he trying to say to you and I in these passages? Do what? We shouldn't worry. How many of you are worriers? Raise your hand. You know, that's a good reason to plan ahead. That way you have lots of time to worry. I'm in trouble then. Well, I do. I worry about things sometimes. And Jeff, there are some people who have the personality that don't worry about anything. But that ain't everybody. That ain't most everybody, in fact. Most of us do worry about things. Now, by the way, there is a difference. We talked about it. There's a difference between concern and worry. There were times that Paul was concerned about the churches and what might take place. He didn't worry about them. He knew God was going to take care of them, but he wasn't quite sure if a wolf would come in sheep's clothing or a false teacher, and so he was concerned about those things. And in fact, you hear him talk about quite often he wanted to go visit them and encourage them. So you can't have concern without worry. But I want you to think about what you think of most. What comes to mind most times during your week? What do you put your concentration on most? Heard somebody say work.
Relaxation.
Even when I'm working, that's what I'm thinking of. Boy, I'm going to get off of this thing one day, right? That's why I named my tree stand Outreach. If you ever call and ask where the pastor's at, and my secretary says, he's out on outreach. My boat's named Visitation. See, you'll never know that way, huh? Well, guys, notice what he says. He gets to the point of talking about all these things. And you notice he also said, these are the things that the lost world thinks about. When he says Gentiles, he's talking about the lost world, okay? And he said, that's what the world thinks about now. Now, by the way, most of these things are needs. These aren't just wants. These are needs. Most of the time, we need food, right? I do. I don't know about you, but I kind of like that part. It's really nice to have clothes once in a while. Man, I see people going down the road with their shirts off, and I just want to wonder why. Guys over 40 need to wear a shirt, okay? I'm sorry. Just saying. I represent that part, by the way. I saw somebody sunbathing the other day. I was going, need to cover up. I mean, we do think about a lot of things, just like the Gentiles do, just like the lost do. But notice what God says. In verse 32, he says, after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And then he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let me ask you a question. What is the kingdom of God? Now, it's hard to answer what Jesus is talking about if we don't understand what He's talking about. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, what is He talking about? Well, let me give you a clue. Back up, same chapter, just a few verses to, let's see. Notice verse 9. Now, this is where Jesus is teaching His disciples how to pray. All right? Verse 9 says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, there's a key there to help you understand what the kingdom of God is all about. So if I had you define the kingdom of God, what would you say? Do what? Okay. The will of God. Okay. Somebody else? We won't count you wrong. Do what? What'd you say, buddy? Okay. What'd you say? All right. That was a big part of it. But you notice in the prayer, he is saying part of this should be a part of your prayer every day. And he talks about, Father, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if somebody asked me what the kingdom of God was, I would say, which one are you talking about? Are you talking about the physical kingdom of God, or are you talking about the spiritual kingdom of God? See, there is a physical kingdom of God that God has promised Israel that one day He is going to fulfill, where Jesus literally comes to earth, puts His foot on the Mount of Olives. It splits, I think the Bible talks about, and He sets up His kingdom there to rule and reign for 1,000 years. For that 1,000 years, the whole world will revolve around Israel, and Jesus will be the king. That's a promise to Israel, and if you go to Revelation and look close to the back of it, you'll find where it talks about that 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's the physical kingdom of God. But there is a spiritual kingdom that can happen right now today. And it has to do with believers, born-again believers, who Christ is their king. And they follow and obey Him. In fact, notice what it says in that passage again. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, guys, let me tell you something. When Jesus says jump, the angel says how far? There's no argument. They don't say, well, Lord, now wait a minute. What do you mean you want us to jump? You ever notice we do that sometimes? Why do you want us to jump? What will it accomplish? Do what, brother? We will pray for John after the sermon. Guys, the angels don't question what the Lord asks them to do. They just do it. It's commanded, they do it. You notice He said in the prayer, pray that His will be done on earth like it is in heaven. Let me ask you something. Do you obey God every time you hear His word and command to you? Oh, you're kidding. You don't always obey God? Oh, my goodness. I got to start a new series. No. And I don't always want to. I mean, there's times God asks you to do things that ain't fun, okay? I got to tell you. Doesn't come natural. It ain't easy. In fact, usually when God asks you to do something, there's a sacrifice to be made. So, no, I don't. I know you don't. And neither does all the kingdom of God right now. But we should start listening to Him and obeying Him. Because if you're born again and you belong to the kingdom of God, part of that kingdom is that Jesus is the king. And usually when there's someone the king and they ask you to do something, then you're supposed to do it. Somehow we've missed that. All right, we've missed out on that. So if He's asking us to seek the kingdom of God, what does that mean? Well, obviously, he uses the illustration. It's not to worry about the same things the world worries about. You don't have to go out there and worry about what pair of jeans am I going to have, Wranglers or Levi's? Or am I going to have somebody's name written back there? You got to have them stylish jeans, right? I do. I want Wranglers. Levi's are too tight. I need a skosh more room. Don't laugh. Some of y'all need a lot more room. So, yeah, come on. They make them new ones that stretch. Isn't that great? Like stretchy. All right, what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? Obviously, it's not the same as what the world is doing. In fact, He says, don't worry about that. The Father already knows. He said, if He takes care of the birds and He takes care of the flowers, He's going to take care of you much more because you're His children. Now, I put that in the needs, not the wants. Okay, those are the needful things. Shelter, clothing, food, that's something that most human beings sort of need. So He's taking care of the needs. But He says, instead of worrying about those things, I want you to seek the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? All right, to seek His will and do it. So what would that be? Well, you'd have to find His will, that's for sure, yes. Now, I put it, the kingdom is basically made up of two. One, the king. All right, He is sovereign. He's got the authority. We're to trust Him. We're to walk with Him. He's the reason for living. He's the one we're to be devoted to. Now, most of us still need to work on that part. All right? We haven't got that part down pat. Now, the second one is made up of born-again believers. You got the king and his people. So what does his people look like? Well, they're to be devoted. They're to be obedient. They're to be faithful. They're to see the needs of others. That's what a child of the king would be doing. All right? So if we're seeking the kingdom of God, what does that look like? Think, come on. Put them thinking caps on. What'd you say? More than just that. If you notice, we've got two things. First of all, it's thinking and doing. Notice the passage. It says, seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The righteousness part is our reaction or the way that we act. The seeking the kingdom is to do kingdom work. So how does that relate? One of those would be looking for the lost, absolutely. But the first thing, I would say the number one priority, is everywhere you go and everything you do, you should want to please the Lord. I believe that would be first step in seeking the kingdom of God. Well, you already know we failed on that one, right? So we need to work on number one already. And that is everywhere you go, everything you do, you should want to please the Lord. What would that look like? Curtis, what are you going to do on Monday?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go check on that alligator up in Palm Coast that's been eluding me for the last 2 years.
Okay. Curtis is going. I think you need prayer on that one, brother.
2 years.
But how would you approach that Monday morning? You know, you understand you're supposed to be thinking about the kingdom of God and acting on the kingdom of God. Now you're going to catch a gator. How would you do that in real life so that you're seeking the kingdom of God?
Well, number one, I need to find a way to do it to stay within the law which I have to abide by.
We can't shoot him with a 30-06. This ain't the swamp people, by the way.
Started doing all that last week, so that can all come about Monday morning.
So you want to do things lawfully. All right, what else?
Be considerate of others.
All right.
You know, I don't need to wait till Monday morning to call the guy that's going to be up there with me to have everything set up. So, you know, plan in advance, be considerate of others. There's a school right across the road, so he's asked me to be conscious of the fact that, you know, kids are over there.
So you can't let loose with the old pistol or anything like that.
Well, he said be careful what time to do it when you're loading on the bus and that kind of stuff. So a lot of things going into that, but I want to be honorable in what I do. I want to be true to my word. If Sam will be there Monday morning, I need to be there Monday morning.
All right, let's think about it. But is that what you think about usually on a Monday morning? You know, I don't get up on Monday saying, well, you know, this is my day off, and I'm going to clean the yard, and I'm going to build something. I don't say, well, you know what? I am going to clean this yard so good that the Lord's going to be proud of it. I don't usually think in terms like that. I just get up, it's my day off, and I'm going to do some woodwork, and I'm going to clean the yard or clean the dog pen and things like that, and I'm not thinking about the kingdom of God. I'm just doing my thing. To do it, we've got to do it unto the Lord, to please Him in everything we do and everywhere we go. Yes, ma'am.
What you think you're supposed to be doing that
Most often, yes, ma'am, that's exactly what happens. All right. Number one is everywhere you go, everything you do, you want to please the Lord. Number two, every person you want to lead to the Lord. Hello? If our job is to glorify God and to be pleasing unto Him, and our job is to care about others, and everybody around us, for the most part, is really lost, then our seeking the kingdom of God should be worrying about every person, whether they're saved or not. Do you drive down Astor seeing somebody on a bicycle wondering, is that person saved? Do you go into the dollar store and wonder if the people waiting on you is saved? Does that cross your mind most of the time? I have a sneaking idea, don't. The third one should be seeking the kingdom of God is to make sure that every believer is faithfully following the Lord. That would be part of the kingdom of God. If His desire is that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and they're believers, then we want those believers following the Lord as well. Amen? Now, how many of us think that way? You see, we're missing the mark on what God wants for us. I mean, you know, we talk about going to the deep things of the Lord. We just need to get into some of the shallow and learn where that's at. Did you know that Lake George is not very deep? Except where Raymond kicked Curtis out. No, it's smart. I love that story. But Lake George is not very deep. You can walk from Juniper Springs, except where the buoys are. You're gonna float your hat there for a few seconds. But you can walk from Juniper Springs all the way to the boat ramp, all the way past my house, till you get to the edge of that thing. You're gonna have to swim for a few minutes. But from there all the way to the cove, you won't get your chest wet. Well, Rick might, but most of us wouldn't. He said it, I didn't. Nah, that gator won't mess with you. Probably. But guys, we just need to know where the shallow areas are. We're not ready for the deep areas. We're not even thinking about the kingdom of God most of the time. We're worried about this or we're thinking about that. Is it any wonder the church is not very powerful nowadays? We're so distracted. We're so concentrating on everything the world is today. We're not even thinking spiritually or seeing. When you drive down the road, do you see that wonderful wildflower as something God placed there just that moment for you to see? Most of us don't think about that. We just, how beautiful. That's all right, brother. It'll grow back. That's the great thing about a flower. Oh, I hated mowing yards where there's full of flowers. I'm so glad when they come out with zero turning radius mowers. You can just spin a circle around that thing. My mama would plant everything. Mower, just take it right off the. Guys, I don't think spiritually like I ought to see the things. You know, Rick was in an accident this last week. I found that out. Wiped out his vehicle and the kid that hit him. Wiped out his vehicle. Neither one of them was hurt. Guys, I don't think that part's an accident. I believe God's hand was there. Miss Debbie, same thing. Guys, we need to start thinking spiritually about life. God is very real. God is everywhere you go, He goes. Amen. It's no accident when God leads you to somebody's life. It's no accident when you see something beautiful out there. God put it there for you. Isn't that great? You know, it'd be a sad thing. I know that Miss Wyvon was probably very close to her mother. It'd be a sad thing to not think there was any life after death for her mother. And that would just be the end of it. Wouldn't that be sad? But you see, God has provided life after death. So even the grave doesn't have to be the bottom. It's just the passing over. Isn't that awesome? Guys, we need to get our heads and our minds spiritual. Not miss the things that God's got for us. And he said, listen, you don't have to worry about the other things. I already know what you need. Isn't it great to have an all-knowing God? Now, I know somebody's going to ask a question. Brother Terry, does that mean we never pray about those things? No, I don't believe that. I just believe that shouldn't be where our main concern is. The Bible tells us that a Christian man needs to take care of his family. So somewhere along the line, I have to think about those things. But I don't need to worry about those things. I don't need to dwell on those things. Lift it up to the Lord and trust Him. Did you notice that He said, ye of little faith? See, part of seeking the kingdom of God is learning how to trust God. Not just for the big things, but the everyday things. And you notice in that same prayer a while ago, He tells them, you can pray for your daily food. Just don't let it be that thing that consumes you. If you watch television, what consumes television? Besides sex, yes. They're trying to sell something. Every commercial on television is trying to sell you something. So you go to the next program. You know, I really hate it when they parallel those things. So you have to go 14 channels to find one not doing it. Guys, that's what television's all about, commercials. So was radio. That's why they come up with satellite. You're paying for the service. You see, free's not free when you get those radio waves coming in because somebody's got to make the announcement of sell you something. Insurance. They're trying to sell, sell, sell. Does your mind take in those things? I know y'all don't watch television, right? Y'all don't go to the movies. You don't listen to the radio. Right? You're not influenced by the newspaper. As little as it is. Guys, we need to spend more time thinking about the Lord and seeking the Lord and His righteousness. And He said, I'll take care of the rest. You get priority straight, and I'll take care of the rest. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Father, as we come to You this morning, we're not coming to You as anybody different than anyone else. All of us. All of us suffer from not seeking the kingdom of God and Your righteousness. Many of us worry. Oh my goodness, what if this happens? Or what if that don't happen? How am I going to make it? We worry so much about things, especially things that's not even in our control. Lord, help us to not be so caught up in thinking about the things the world thinks about. But give us spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear. Help us to understand that our thinking and our actions should be towards the kingdom of God. Seeking it above all things. Caring about everything that we do and every place that we go would be to please You. That every person that we see, we be concerned that that person comes to know You as Lord and Savior. That a concern in our heart would be for every believer to be walking faithfully with You. Those are kingdom things. Those are the kingdom of God. Obedience, faithfulness, priorities on you. Father, help us to develop that in our lives. Lord, there's a lot of bad habits in the world that we shouldn't be a part of, but there are some good habits, some things that we do consistent in our lives. And Lord, seeking the kingdom of God should be one of those. Help to keep our mind upon you. Help us not to let the world distract us, or things distract us, or worries distract us. Help us to think on you, Lord, to be mindful of you at all times. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who's never trusted you as Lord and Savior, just a moment, Miss Debbie's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. I'll be standing down in front to receive anybody, even if they just got a question they want to ask, we'll be down there. Father, the invitation's yours and not ours. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.